I want to speak this morning about what kind of fool are you? Proverbs chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple and to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark saying, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs features two main characters throughout: the wise man and the fool. The word fool appears in various forms throughout the book of Proverbs 84 times. That's once for every 10 verses in the book of Proverbs. Solomon wrote this book to instruct and to warn his son about being associated with fools and trying to keep him from becoming one himself as well. As we think about this, there are some general characteristics that apply to a fool. There's two verses in Psalms, we won't turn there, but Psalm 14 verse 1 and Psalm 53 and verse 1 says a fool has said in his heart, there is no God. A fool denies the existence of God. The second thing is, he despises instruction. We read that in verse 7 here. Look down at verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and scorners delight in your scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Chapter 15 and verse 5. A fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. So he denies God, he despises instruction, and he lacks restraint. Look at Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 17. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. The quickly angry, that lack of restraint is exhibited in that way. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. Back to chapter 5 of Ecclesiastes. Chapter 5 verse 3. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by the multitude of his words. He's angry and he can't keep his mouth shut. Proverbs 29 verse 11. Proverbs 29 verse 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. And then Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 3. Proverbs 20 and verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. So he's quickly angry, he can't keep his mouth shut, and he can't keep out of other people's business. Lack of restraint, despising instruction, denying God. My dad used to speak about someone being seven kinds of a fool. Now, I've only got four that I'm going to look at this morning. I'm sure you could probably find seven of them throughout the book of Proverbs. But what kind are you? And that's the question, the main question throughout this message this morning. The first fool I want to look at is the simple fool. We look at chapter 14 of Proverbs, chapter 14 and verse 15. It says, the simple believeth every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. And then Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 3. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. The simple fool is wrapped up in what he's doing. Not a lot of forethought into the things that he does. He doesn't take precautions, doesn't heed instruction. Simple fools are the reason that there are warning labels on products today. Let me give you a couple of examples. This was on a shirt. Never iron while wearing. This was on an ATV. Never use a lit match or open flame to check the fuel level. This was on a chainsaw. Do not hold by the wrong end. This was on a cereal bowl. Always use with adult supervision. Am I going to drown in the milk? Or this one's for you, Calvin. It was on bobcat urine. Not for human consumption. And this was on an egg carton for you that raise chickens. May contain eggs. And finally, on a blowtorch, contents may catch fire. Simple fools are the reason for those warnings. A simple fool is gullible, lacks foresight, and can be easily misled. Look at Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7. Proverbs chapter 7, verse 4. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinswoman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. For at the window of my house I looked through my casement, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths a young man, void of understanding, passing through the street near to her corner, and he went the way to her house. The gullible, the susceptible. Now certainly there's a specific setting here that this applies to, but the principle is broader than that. Simple fools get easily sucked into things. Look at verse 21 in the same chapter. With her much fair speech, she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips, she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks. Till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Hearken unto me now, therefore, O ye children. Attend to the words of my mouth. Let not thine heart decline to her ways. Go not astray in her paths. For she hath cast down many wounded. Yea, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is a way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. There's a warning there for the fool, the simple fool. Don't be sucked in to things that are going on around you. There's a lot of people out there that are trying to entrap and ensnare in this type of scenario and many others as well. Beware of that thing. You realize children are simple fools? That's their nature. They don't think ahead. They're gullible. They're easily led into things. But you see, for a simple fool, there's some hope. That's just the nature of a child. Now, if you're no longer a child and you're still a simple fool, that's another story altogether. But this, generally speaking, there's hope for a simple fool. Look at Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. There's a need for correction. Okay, you shouldn't have done that. Now here's what you need to do. Instruction on what they need to do. And sometimes the rod plays a role in that. God's designed that. One of the things that I learned sitting in the courtroom was that, in at least in Pennsylvania, it is not illegal to spank your child. I heard a judge say that, sitting on the bench. He's like, I can't forbid you to spank your child. That's permissible. Now, that doesn't mean beat them to within an inch of her life. There's a difference there. But the use of the rod, the use of corporal discipline is acceptable, at least in the state of Pennsylvania. And it's a principle established in the Word of God. There's a purpose for that. There's a time for that. Certainly, it's not the only form of discipline that should ever be administered, but it is an acceptable form from the Bible standpoint and from the state of Pennsylvania. There's that need for correction and instruction in the life of a child. Look at Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19. Psalm chapter 19 and verse 7 says this. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. A synonym for the Word of God. That converts my soul. That instruction can lead to the conversion of my soul. As Paul said to Timothy, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which were able to make thee wise unto salvation. There's a purpose, there's a role that the scriptures play in our lives. Because he says, a testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. This book plays an important role in instructing the simple so that they depart from those ways of foolishness if they'll listen. So there's instruction that gives them hope. There's also example. Look at Proverbs chapter 19. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 25. Proverbs 19:25, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware. What's the purpose of smiting the scorner? It's not to correct him. It's to serve as a warning to the simple. The simple that just lacks the proper instruction and the proper discipline along the way needs to see what happens in the lives of others if they follow down that same path. The correction is not for the scorner, the one guilty of the infraction. The correction's for the example to others. Smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. Chapter 21, verse 11. When the scorner is punished, the simple is made wise, and where the wise is instructed, he receiveth knowledge. And chapter 26 and verse 3. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and the rod for the fool's back. There's a place for that, but it's not necessarily to correct the scorner. It's to serve as that warning. You know, that's something that people lose sight of or don't fully understand. When discipline, you know, in Ecclesiastes, the Bible says, because judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily, the hearts of men wax worse and worse. You look at our court system. Rick killed Courtney in June of last year. That thing's still not settled. There was one just this week, I think it was a murder, that's been over a year before the sentence was finally executed. There needs to be some changes in our justice system. Amen. So that the hearts of men do not continue to wax worse and worse. The thing is prolonged so long that it loses its effect. And not so much, again, on the guilty party, but on others, the simple, who will learn from that instruction, the judgment, when it's executed. The simple fool. But there's hope for him if he's instructed and he'll receive that instruction and see the example of others around him. The second fool type of fool is this. It's the intelligent fool. And I would call him also the scorner. The intelligent fool in his corner. This guy, you can't tell him anything. He knows it all. He's got it. And that's it. Look at Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. You see, he knows it all. He's got all the answers. You can't instruct him because everything's right in his own eyes. Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. That's the intelligent fool, because he trusts in his own heart. He's got all the answers. He's right in his own eyes. He's oblivious to the ways of God. Look at Psalm 92, Psalm chapter 92 and verse 5. Psalm 92, verse 5, O Lord, how great are thy works, and thy thoughts are very deep. A brutish man knoweth not, neither doth a fool understand this. The psalmist in Psalm chapter 8, he says he looked out there and he looked at the night sky and he says, Lord, when I consider thy heavens, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. You're singing that song, Holy, Holy, Holy. A lot of people don't like that song. Man, think about the words to that the next time you sing that. The majesty and the greatness of our God. But the fool says, what God? I've never seen him. You ever seen him? The evidence is there, folks. But the intelligent fool refuses to see that. He says, look at Proverbs 14. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 9. Proverbs 14, 9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Sin, what's that? Who gets to choose what sin is? God. But see, they've rejected God. So there is that lack of that absolute in their lives. Well, who says you shouldn't do that? God. But the intelligent fool has no understanding or no knowledge outside of himself. All the answers lie with him. And he comes up with all these intelligent questions. Well, which came first, the chicken or the egg? Well, if you believe in creation, then it was a chicken. That's simple. But the fool rejects that. Well, where did Cain get his wife? His sister. It's not that tough. But the intelligent fool thinks it's an amazing question. Or how did Noah get all the animals on the ark? But he doesn't know how the big ark, how big the ark is. Doesn't know how many animals there were, and has no idea what the average size of the animals was. It's a perfect example of one having been educated beyond their intelligence. The intelligent fool. They think they got all the answers. It's all about themselves. He believes he's the master of his own destiny. That ain't true, folks. I mean, you just look at Rod Stevens. They had their plan. They were going to move up here from South Carolina and build the home and retire up here and everything. And within months after selling their house in South Carolina, diagnosed with terminal cancer. That's rough. But God knew about it. We're not the masters of our own destiny. Walk out here, get in an accident, and it's gone. You're done. It's over. And then what do you got? The fool has nothing except an eternity in hell. Amen. The problem with the fool is, the intelligent fool, is he's full of himself. He's proud. God hates pride. God hates pride. People that are lifted up, full of themselves, and refuse to be corrected. Look at Proverbs chapter 18. This is pretty much the philosophy of the psychiatric profession right here in Proverbs 18, verse 2. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. He is his own God. It's all about me. And what do I think? And how do I feel? And how does it affect me? His world is no bigger than himself. And everything about it, it's introspection, looking at him and not looking outside. Just trying to discover his own heart. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. How long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity and scorner, and the scorners delight in their scorning? That's that intelligent fool. He delights in his scorning of us, of Christians, and God. And fools hate knowledge. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. And once again, still, all they have to do is respond. There's hope for the intelligent fool if he will stop trying to discover his own self and look to God and receive God's instruction. Look at verse 29. Well, let's continue reading on here. Verse 24. Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. Just rejecting everything about God. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. You see what that said? God is going to laugh at the fool's calamity. God has reached out, God has appealed, God has sought to bring them to him. But there comes a point when God says, told you so. Laugh at your calamity. Mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. You say, well, what point would a person reach in their life that God would treat them as such? I don't know that I can answer that with certainty, except for one situation, before they are cast to an eternity in hell. I think as long as a person has breath in their lungs, they have an opportunity to repent and receive God. Amen. I know for a fact, once they've died, after that, the judgment. I know that this applies then. Could it possibly come before then? I don't know. But I know at that point, there's no hope. And God certainly at that point will laugh at their calamity, will mock when their fear cometh, because they hated knowledge, did not choose the fear of the Lord. Verse 30, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning the way the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. That's the turning point. Okay, God, I give up. I surrender. I receive your instruction. I receive the sacrifice you made on the cross to pay the price for my sin. I receive the payment that you made by taking my sins upon yourself, and I'll receive from you your righteousness. Then I'm quiet from fear of evil. This is the intelligent fool. Thirdly, the dedicated fool. This guy's sold out. This guy's even dangerous. He despises instruction. Certainly the intelligent fool does that as well, but this guy takes it, I think, to another level altogether. Look at Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 6. A scorner seeketh wisdom and findeth it not, but knowledge is easy unto them that understandeth. Verse 9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. Chapter 17 and verse 10. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. This is that guy that needs to receive the rod and the stripes to be a blessing to the simple. The stripes don't do him any good whatsoever. But it's the one that's attentive to instruction, being willing to respond to that, that sees that, that's the one he benefits. That's what verse 10 says. A reproof entereth more into a wise man than 100 stripes into a fool. Chapter 27 and verse 22. Though thou shouldst bray a fool in mortar among wheat with a pestle, Yet shall not his foolishness depart from him. Because he's committed. There isn't anything that you're going to do to him that's going to bring him to his senses. Because he is completely committed to his foolishness. Chapter 26 and verse 19. I'll back up a little bit here. Verse 17. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is a man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I in sport? Oh, it's just good fun. Everything's fun to the committed fool. There's a story about a guy that was hospitalized after being bitten by a baby rattlesnake. And his companion had warned him not to mess with it, but he did not heed the warning, and he said this afterward, she warned me, but I picked it up anyway. I'm not too bright that way. He's proud of his foolishness. You ever meet somebody like that? They'll brag about the stupid things that they've done. Look, I've done some stupid things in my life. Some of them I'm never going to tell you about. But this guy, he didn't care. He's proud of his foolishness, of his stupidity, because he is totally committed to this thing. There's this thing going around. How many of you have heard about the Tide pot eating contest? Have you heard of that? Some idiot on YouTube is challenging people to take those little dishwasher things of Tide and eat them. What's wrong with people? Well, they're fools. I know what's wrong with them. They're fools. There was another guy that ate cinnamon. I forget how much it was. I don't know if it's just a tablespoon or whatever, but he ate that thing down, and man, he's coughing, he's puking. He's a mess, man. For about 5 minutes, he can't even talk. Why would you do that? Because he's a fool. Well, they dared to me to, and I've got to accept the challenge of a dare. Well, yeah, if you're a committed fool. But here's the problem. These committed fools prey on the simple fools. And they're so proud of their foolishness, and they make it so attractive that they draw the simple ones in along with them. And some kid ends up in a hospital because he didn't think ahead. He didn't think about the consequences. He didn't think about how dangerous what he was doing was, because a committed fool convinced him. Hey, come on, man. Just try it. Join in. Beware of the committed fool. Look at Proverbs chapter 9. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 8. It says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. Give instruction to a wise man, he will be the wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase learning. But he says, don't reprove the scorner. It's only going to come back and bite you. Chapter 15. Chapter 15, verse 12. A scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. Beware of the scorner, the committed fool. Number one, it's not going to have any effect. Number two, he'll probably come after you. But then look at Proverbs chapter 26. Proverbs chapter 26. We've already mentioned the idea that there are times when they need to be dealt with, just as an example to the simple. Here at Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 4, it says, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. So he says, leave him alone. Don't do anything. Just walk away. Just back away slowly. Get out of there. But then look at verse 5. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. Now some people run and say, oh, see, there's a contradiction in the Bible. God can't make up his mind what you ought to do. No, don't be an intelligent fool. It depends upon the circumstance. Sometimes it's best just to walk away and leave it alone. But other times, for the sake of somebody else, you got to deal with him so that he's not wise in his own conceit. The circumstance determines how you deal with the thing. But beware, because these guys will bite you, the committed fool. But you know, there's one more fool that I want to look at this morning. And actually, it's a fool that we all ought to desire to be. I hope that we all desire to be. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 9. First Corinthians 4, verse 9. For I think that God has set forth us, the apostles, last, as it were appointed to death, for we have made a spectacle unto the world and to angels and to men. Apostles, we're made a spectacle. Verse 10. We are fools for Christ's sake. But ye are wise in Christ, we are weak, but ye are strong, ye are honorable, but we are despised. A fool for Jesus Christ. Look, I understand that people think I'm a fool. because I'm a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I get responses to my columns all the time. There's one guy especially from State College that just, I mean, he just rants and rags on to me every time there's a column in the paper. I don't care. I want to be a fool for Jesus Christ. Because what I've got, the light that Jesus Christ has given through the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ, is far better than anything that that ex-college professor up there has. He's got an eternity in hell waiting for him. Amen. I've got an eternity with my Lord. And hopefully some treasures laid up there with him as well. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. For I saved, I believe that. Ah, you Christians. Just a bunch of pie in the sky, by and by nonsense. Well, now I know it's not. Now I know it's real. And these 42 years, I wouldn't trade for anything.
Amen.
God's been so good to me. And it's not over yet. The best is yet to come.
Amen.
Because I believe this foolishness. The preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of God. Of the wise, and I'll bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? He has. Well, this all started with a big bang. Really? And where did that come from? Well, we can't talk about the origins because nobody knows. But we got this. We start over here. We got this all figured out. How can you start here and ignore that? There had to be something to start with. He's made foolish the wisdom of the world. For after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom, knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You're not going to come to God because of your intellect, your great wisdom. You come to Him humbly. God, I'm nothing but a wicked, vile sinner, desiring nothing from You except an eternity in hell. He says, come, child. I'll take you. And I'll make something of you. Verse 22, for the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men. In Isaiah 55 it says, our thoughts are not His thoughts and our ways are not His ways. As the heaven is higher than the earth, so are His ways higher than our ways. And His thoughts higher than our thoughts. If there is such a thing as a foolish thought with God, it is so much higher than the wisest surmisings of men that there's no comparison. God is so much greater. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see, calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, God has deliberately turned the whole thing upside down.
Amen.
He says, because I don't want you wise in your own self. I want you to come to me. I want you to trust in me. And that simple act of salvation by humbling ourselves before God and receiving from Him what He has done for us is one of the greatest steps that any person can make to having opened to us the vast resources of God's wisdom and knowledge and understanding. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. And when I bow my knee to Him, I have opened myself up to all the resources that God has. Who knows the beginning from the end? And he goes on, he says, verse 29, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Folks, I'm nothing. If you've gotten anything out of my preaching over the years, it's because of Him. It's not me. It's just what He's been allowed to do through me.
Amen.
I'm nothing, folks. It's all God. And I'll be gladly a fool for Jesus Christ's sake.
Amen.
Amen? Let's stand, please, for prayer. Lord, help us to be honest in evaluating our lives before you this morning. I don't doubt that there's some things that have been touched on that have spoken to individuals here this morning about some foolishness in their own lives. And maybe some drawing back from being a fool for Jesus Christ because of what others might think or say. God, may we be willing to put it all on the line for you. God, help us to strive to be those fools for Jesus Christ's sake. And strive to hear from your lips, well done, thou good and faithful servant, rather than to receive the fleeting praise of man. God, speak to the hearts of your people this morning. I pray that there's been a challenge for each one in some way through these words today. And God, if there's someone here that's never trusted you as Savior, may you speak to that heart as well. Thank you, God, for the gift of salvation. Thank you, God, for the enlightenment that you give us through your precious word and the direction of your Holy Ghost. Thank you, God, for loving us and saving us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.